From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama is praising congressional negotiators for working out a sweeping overhaul of the rules governing the financial system. The deal was reached early this morning. If approved by the full House and Senate, the changes would cover a wide variety of financial transactions. NPR's Ari Shapiro is covering the White House.
Almost 2 years after one of the worst economic crashes in American history, the House and Senate reached a final resolution on a bill to put tighter controls on Wall Street. President Obama had pushed hard for this measure, and just before leaving for an international summit in Canada, he congratulated lawmakers on their work.
Over the last 17 months, we've passed an Economic Recovery Act, health insurance reform, education reform, and we are now on the brink of passing Wall Street reform.
He called it the biggest financial overhaul since the Great Depression, and he said the bill contains 90% of what he wanted. Then he walked to the waiting helicopter on the lawn, and Marine One lifted off. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, the White House.
President Obama is now in Canada for the G20 summit. He says he'll be touting the changes as a blueprint for other countries. An effort to revive extended unemployment benefits that expired last month has failed. NPR's David Wellner reports it was blocked on the Senate floor last night by a Republican-led filibuster.
Nearly a million people who'd been receiving extended unemployment benefits have lost them due to congressional inaction. Last night, Senate Republicans, joined by one Democrat, Nebraska's Ben Nelson, voted to block a measure that would have extended those benefits until December, Majority Leader Harry Reid.
If there were ever an example that is clear and direct that this is the party of no, this is it.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell defended his party's refusal to approve the jobless benefits, saying they would have added to the deficit. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
There are a couple of strong hurricanes out in the Pacific. The National Weather Service says Hurricane Darby has strengthened into a Category 3 storm. Cecilia is now a Category 4, but authorities say neither storm is a threat to land. Authorities are more worried right now about a storm system strengthening south of Haiti. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Wool in Tallahassee, Florida, says if a tropical storm forms, there's a chance it could hit the Mexico-Texas border next week.
We do have some long-range projections, sort of what-if scenarios that generally show the system crossing the Yucatan Peninsula and then moving out in across the western Gulf of Mexico early next week.
Officials are keeping a close eye on the weather in the Gulf of Mexico because a big storm could disrupt efforts to clean up the BP oil spill. BP shares are falling today. Investors in London are concerned about the oil giant's ability to pay for the rising cost of the spill. BP's share price dipped after the company announced the cost of responding to the spill has climbed to more than $2.3 billion. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 22 points. This is NPR News. Spanish officials are blaming summer solstice partygoers for crossing the tracks into the path of an express train that killed 13 people yesterday. But Eleanor Beardsley reports that a conflicting view holds that train station exit signs were poorly marked, causing confused travelers to cross the tracks.
In addition to the dead, at least 14 people were injured in a beach resort town south of Barcelona shortly before midnight Wednesday as crowds of young people left a train station heading for bonfires on a Mediterranean beach. They were celebrating a nationwide ritual called La Noche de San Juan, which is held each year just after the summer solstice. Most of the victims were Latin American, but authorities have not yet identified them. A government minister has denied claims the underpass was poorly marked and insists that passengers should have known that you never cross train tracks. It is Spain's deadliest train accident since 2003. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
A day after he won the longest professional tennis match in history, American John Isner has lost his second-round match at Wimbledon. Isner looked tired from the outset, losing in straight sets to Timo de Bakker of the Netherlands. After the match, Isner said he knew it was going to be a tough day.
When I went out there and hit that first serve, I knew didn't have much behind it. I knew I was in for some trouble. On top of that, I'm playing a really good player who's on top of his game. So bundle those up together, and just it wasn't a recipe for success.
Isner held serve 69 consecutive times in the final set of his record-breaking match against Frenchman Nicolas Mahut, but lost his first four service games today. Plus, he didn't serve any aces after hitting a record 112 against Mahut. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.